Thank you. Rabin.
Oh.
Hello.
It works. Yes. So.
Okay, are we in the game?
Yo, we are in the game. You are the very first call-in guest for my show.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Okay, awesome.
And
so
you
is
are.
It like, is, am mm-hmm. I being recorded right
now? Oh, we're
or?
On. Oh, we're on. We had some fancy music playing before and worked out a lot of bugs. And so here we are. Latia Solomon, tell me a story.
All right. Tell you a story. All right. Well, the first one that comes to mind is actually, I want to say one of like my defining moments when I finally stood up to my father.
Oh, wow.
And begged him not to whoop me. Yes. For me, it was like, okay, if I could do this, anything's possible.
How old were you?
I was 12. And my father, he was in the military, so he was in the Marines. So he's very stern. He's one of those fathers that will have you standing up in attention with your hands to your side while he's whooping you, and you cannot cry.
Wow.
I mean, you can cry, but I mean, it got to a point where we had to cry because my brother and I, we would be standing in the same room,
mm-hmm.
side to side, just getting tore up and just having to take it, and we just had to just stand there. But that was a part of his whole little ritual. So at 12, I had my older brother, he was 4 years older.
Mm-hmm.
So his friends were like 16, 17, and I used to always just follow them all the time, see what they were doing, get in the mix, and just be mischievous and curious.
Okay.
And one day, one of his friends had this bright idea. He took a piece of paper. He bent down, took some grass, put it in the paper, rolled it up, and lit it, and started smoking it, and said he was smoking weed.
Okay.
And for me, I just thought that was so amazing. I was like, okay, that's cool. I want to do that too. So they were passing it around in a circle as if it was some actual for real marijuana. And my little 12-year-old self wanted to get in that mix and try to get a part of what was happening, but my brother, of course, he stopped it, and he basically like kicked me out of the group and told me to go home.
Okay.
And so what I did, my influential self, ended up getting my friends together and saying, hey guys, I have this new thing. I think we should try it. I don't know why my friends listened to me at that time. I have no idea why they did, but they did. And I was able to get them to do things that
okay.
just didn't make sense. And so I ended up rolling up some paper, putting some little grass in there. I used all kinds so that it could be like flavorful. So I had the green one, the really fresh green grass, and I had the like burnt brown grass.
Well, Latia, where were you living where there's all this illustrious varieties of grass growing?
Well, I was in Albany, Georgia.
Okay.
So it was kind of a small town,
a
and I actually lived on base. So it was a kind of a small community where everyone knew everyone. Like, all of the families, all of the, you know, military mom and fathers, we all knew each other.
Okay, and there were three kinds of grass. Okay, I'm with you.
Yes, yes. And so I had some willing followers, and we ended up smoking. I don't know where I got the lighter from, somewhere in the house. And we ended up smoking behind one of the houses, like, across the yard. But like I said, everybody knows everybody. And so kind of further off, one of the parents of, like, one of my other friends, she saw us, like, lighting up something with something in our hand that looked like a cigarette.
Right.
And she yelled my name. She was like, Tia, what you doing over there? And I stuffed that thing out as quick as possible. And I was like, nothing. We just playing. And we just left and got out of there. So I'm just thinking, okay, she's not going to tell. No, she's a cool parent. It should be fine. She couldn't really see us. Oh, no. When I got home, oh, no. My dad was like, Tia, get your ass up on here. Oh, excuse me. Can we use a, do I need to watch what I'm saying?
You can say that. You can say those words if you want to. Sure.
Okay. Well, yes. As soon as I got home, he was ready to haul off. And
But
when
wait a minute,
he,
you didn't get to explain yourself at all? Like it was just grass?
honestly, there was just no time. And
Wow.
to be honest, when my dad has the belt in his hand, I'm scared. Like the tears are rolling. I mean, the snot is going immediately when I get called through the door. I'm like Viola on 10 immediately because I don't play with my dad. Like, I'm scared of my father.
Said Viola, Viola Davis.
Yes.
Are we
I mean,
talking about
it was there.
that one scene, How to Get Away with Murder, when she wiped the makeup off her face and cried? Was there another scene we're talking
All that.
about? Okay, gotcha.
All that.
I'm there.
Yes,
I'm with you.
ugly cry, just hideous. No, daddy, no, don't do it, no. It was real. And he was ready to go. And then something in me was just like, you know what? This is my time. I'm 12 years old. I'm about to be a teen. I can't take this no more. He can't be whooping me like this no more. And I just told him mid-sentence when the belt was in the air, I was like, no, daddy, no, wait. Wait. Let's talk about it.
Oh, wow.
Let's be adults and talk
He
about
said that?
it.
Wow.
Yes. And he had a half smile on his face. And my dad's really silly. Like, I know how to make him laugh. And so once I kind of could see a crack of a smile, I knew I had him. I was like, cool. Let me just work this angle. Let me be diplomatic about this and just tell him, like, let's talk about what I did wrong. How can we right my wrong? How can we not make sure I don't do it again? Let's do some punishment, some grounding or something. But the hitting, we got to move past that. And he was just listening to me. And it worked. Like, I think I got grounded maybe for quite a few weeks after that. And I had never got a whooping after 12 years old ever again.
I just grabbed a belt and said, "Don't hit me." And my mother
You.
and my mother said, "What?" And then she hit me anyway, so.
Yeah, that's risky. That's
Yes.
risky. If you grabbed the belt, honestly, you might have been calling for a death sentence right there,
Right.
because if anything, they're going to hit you harder. Like, you have the audacity to try to grab the belt?
But I didn't well she hit me, and then I said, "What you gonna do now?" And I said, "I'm gonna pull my pants up." But that was my last beating though, so
And how old were you?
I was 13. So had I been 12 and had a brain, I would have done what you did. So, interesting.
Okay.
So
And
what?
it's going to be really funny when my kids try that on me.
So you're a whooper.
Yes, I would have to say yes.
Okay. Would you make them stand still and not move and not cry? Did we go dark? Are we dark now?
Maybe,
I thought we were going dark.
maybe, you know what? Crying, that's just a part of it, but I
Okay.
probably would instill a little of composure.
Okay.
This is how I'm going to say it the nice way, is composure, because I have to learn discipline within myself. And I'll probably use some other methods like holding books
Okay.
and probably some push-ups and things like that.
Okay. Military training.
Yes,
So.
that was very effective.
Well, in the 11 months I've been doing this show, that is the best story I've heard so far. Oh,
Oh, yay! Woo woo!
definitely,
You should probably
definitely.
invite me more often. Hey!
Yes. So let's dig into some stuff.
Okay.
We met in Hollywood, as they say, at the what was it, BHRC. What was the name of the film that you screened?
So I screened Elevate. Yes. And the film festival was the S.E.
S.E.
Manley
Manley,
Short Film
yes.
Showcase.
I love you, S.E. Manley. I love you all.
Yes, we do. And I guess it was in conjunction with the African American Film Marketplace at
Right.
Raleigh Studios. So I think, yeah, I met you. I screened there 2 times. The
Okay.
first one was my first film, Untold, on domestic violence. And
Okay.
then the second one where we met was Elevate.
Elevate. Okay. As my film was showing, I heard talking. And I was like, that's rude. And then one of my friends said that you guys were talking favorably about me, about the film, about Love Seat. And then you told me what you told me, which is that you liked. Oh, okay, so people don't know. People don't know.
You're gonna out me?
No,
You're gonna out me again?
this is a beautiful thing. This see, I don't think that you really understand how much I appreciated that, and it's totally cool. So we're gonna fill everybody in. We're gonna fast forward a little bit, and we'll rewind later. Tell us about the Africa World Film Festival and
Okay.
you.
Well, as he was saying, my partner and I, Eric Wells, he has his company Lights Up Entertainment, and I have mine, El Solo Productions. And we ended up collaborating on a film festival out in Detroit. He's from there, and he already had kind of resources, and he knew of a theater that was empty, and it was actually kind of a part of the African World Festival that they have yearly. I think it's going on its 36th year, so it's pretty well known within the city. And so we were like, okay, how about we add a film component to what the festival already has going on? And it was easy. I mean, the venue was there, he had connections, and I had already did a film festival here in LA, something like smaller. So I just kind of took what I knew here in terms of logistics and planning, and just we did it out there. 2016 was our first year, and now we're actually on our, what, third year? 2016, 2017. Yeah, and we're going on 2018 next year, so we're in our third year. And Victorious had an amazing film called Love Seed, which was so cute and it was adorable, and it was like 4 minutes. The problem was timing. And I know it's like 4 minutes, come on now, you could put that in there, but it was the way that we had it structured, and it was our first year in 2016. It was like our lineup, it was like, man, we really want to play this, but there wasn't a like section where it made sense for us to put it in there.
Which
So we
talk more
didn't.
about that, because sometimes when people, and before I met you, people think they get rejected and they think it's because their film wasn't good. So talk to us, the filmmakers, about rejection.
Yeah, I think in terms of rejection,
It's a bad
it's
word.
an opportunity. Say it
It's
again.
a bad word too, isn't it? Rejection.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of, I mean, how else do you want to describe this? I don't know, denial.
Not
That sounds
now.
even worse.
Not now.
Not participating.
Right. I like that.
Okay, so in terms of not participating in something that one might have submitted for, I think it's an opportunity to learn. Like, it's an opportunity to reach out and figure out, well, what was it? Like, for me, when I don't get into something, I reach out to the creators and ask them, well, what was it? Is it the content? Is it the time? Is it the subject matter, or maybe it's the it could boil down to the style and the tone of my piece. Maybe it just didn't fit in, and that's when you will reveal, okay, is my film just crap, or is it good, but it just didn't fit into what you guys had going on? And if that's the case, then cool, great, that wasn't for me, and now I know. And now, actually, if I submit to other film festivals, then I'll know, okay, maybe these type might not get my type of film. You see what I mean?
Now, how has programming the festival helped you in regards to your own submissions to other festivals with your films?
I think content and story for me is big, because, and also me being in film school right now, I attend the University of Southern California in Los Angeles, and I'm getting an MFA in TV and film production. And just what I've learned here, as well as the programming for the film festival, it's that, I guess, gaining that cinematic eye to be able to gauge, quote unquote, what's a good film or not. Granted, I know it's subjective, but there are like basic fundamental film
Do's and don'ts.
foundations and like
Right.
language that is universal. And it's kind of like, okay, and you can tell, I guess, an amateur filmmaker versus a more mature, filmmaker who speaks that language. And you could tell someone who has carefully crafted their shots, who has carefully crafted the music selection that they chose, their editing, the pacing of their editing, their sound, how well the sound is mixed on the actual film. I mean, all those different small details, I've learned how to pick up a little bit more mature filmmaker or someone who kind of is more aware of the story of what they're trying to show. And also even story structure, a beginning, a middle, an end, a climax, some type of resolution. What are you trying to say with this piece? And sometimes, I think sometimes new filmmakers kind of get lost in the weeds a bit of what they're trying to say, because I know I have, and I'm still growing my voice. And it's really cool to see that. And also to let you know, too, so again, we're going into our third year. So our first year, we only had one award, which is the Audience Choice Award.
Okay.
The second year, we actually incorporated more awards. We had the Best Director, we had Best Cinematography, Best Actress, and Best Male Actor. And we actually brought in judges, industry judges, people who have been in the game for a while and that are very expert in their specific fields. And we got such a range of criticism. I mean, I brought in producers who have produced multi-million-dollar budgets, and they have a more critical eye for what they consider good films. I brought in our film festival is for works on of African American descent, or I'm sorry, of African descent. So anything about someone from African descent, right? But the judges range. So we had, a Caucasian judge, we had a diverse judge panel, right?
Interesting.
Which was good to it kind of, leveled out the playing field, if so to speak. And I would say even from their criticism, it's even more it's even more, I guess,
You said
it just a added more tools in my kit, I guess, to see, okay, well, what's good and what isn't, I guess.
okay. Now, submissions are open, yes?
Yes, they are. Yes, for our third year. So if anyone out there is a filmmaker blossoming, any level, submit it. I believe it's only, it's not, it's either $15, $20, or $25, but it's very affordable.
Yes.
And I say it's an awesome chance to just get your work out there.
And when do you close submissions?
It's going to be open for a while. I think,
Just
let
started,
me see.
right?
I think until May.
Okay. And then when does the festival actually jump off?
It is
Next year.
usually in the third week of August, so between maybe like 18, 19, 20, 21,
So
or usually those dates in August.
my last festival question. I figure that if I'm submitting to a festival the night before the deadline, I'm thinking I'm pissing somebody off or annoying them. I think that they've already maybe made a decision on 20 other films, and and mine is like, oh, there's one more, I guess. As opposed to, we're 4 or 5 months before the deadline, and maybe the committee has more time to live with it.
Okay, so if I had that mindset,
You would submit to nothing ever,
either that or I would have missed out on so many opportunities in
right?
my
Okay.
life.
Okay.
So, I mean, even coming to film school, if I felt like, oh, I don't want to wait until the last minute, I would not be in film school. So, I say that to say, don't let that stop you. That's what the deadline is for. And we know that. Any film festival, any submission anywhere, they have a deadline for a reason. I mean, the earlier the better, yes, but that doesn't, if you have an amazing film, don't let that stop you, because you just never know.
Okay.
And again, and then also by human nature, everyone knows people wait till the last minute. So we're already expecting quite a few to trickle in the day of, or maybe
Right.
like up to a few minutes before it closes, and we understand that, and we give ourselves time after the deadline to watch all of the films and then rank them and then select them.
Nice. And just and for the record, I definitely do and still appreciate your kind words about Love Seat. It made me feel very
Yes.
good about submitting and all the, R words that I get. And I was like, well, maybe it's not that bad because Latia and them said it was cool. So thank you. So
Of course.
let's
Yeah.
get
And I
into.
hope you're still submitting that.
I threw it on Amazon. And no, I'm not. I just got a rejection from like 6 months ago for Love Seat. I love Love Seat. It's a great story, but you know how it is. I like to look at it. I mean, it's 2 years. It's 2 years old, I think. And so nah, I'm good with
I
that.
get it.
I just actually released the outtakes because even though it's a silent film, 4 minutes, we shot about 6 hours and a whole lot of dialogue. So I just released the dialogue. It's very interesting.
Nice.
Cool.
Nice.
So
How's the feedback?
people think, I mean, it was great acting and very funny, people telling me.
Okay.
Yeah, but this is not about. I was gonna give you the prop. It's not about Love Seat right now. So
Okay.
right now it's about adulting. So there's acting you. So there's this filmmaker you. There's acting you. Tell me about adulting.
Hashtag adulting.
Oh,
That's
I'm sorry. Hashtag
okay.
adulting.
Yeah, I mean,
Okay.
it's been amazing. And actually, that's where I met Eric
Okay.
Wells because he was the lighting designer slash gaffer on the web series. So it's a web series about millennials that just graduated from college, trying to make it, trying to find out this whole adult life and bills and relationships and just trying to find who they are in this crazy world and survive. And so I play Tatiana, which is, I want to say the lead, but I mean, we kind of all have like all the different episodes focus on each of us. And I essentially started off with a podcast. So I have like a radio station, kind of a little bit similar to Dear White People, but I always get interrupted and I can never fully finish what I'm talking about because my roommates are so rude. But they're my best friends as well. And, it's fun, it's funny, especially later in season two, we get into some more real topics. I'm also dealing, my thing is I'm figuring it out. So I'm an artist, but my college degree is not getting me, it's saying I'm not qualified enough for high-end positions. So then I'm ending up working as a cashier at Jabba Hut. And I've just been navigating through that. And I have this boo that's not really my boo, but we together, but we not together, but
Okay.
we in a ship. We don't know what type of ship it is, but it's a ship.
Now, is any of this based upon Albany, Georgia life or LA life that you actually been through, or is this totally fictional to you?
Well, so I didn't write it.
Okay.
I was not a part of the production team at all. So I was only purely acting.
Oh, I assumed that. 'Cause I
Yeah.
look at you and your resume, which is actually it was very remarkable. I remember when I met you. I was like, oh, she does everything. And so I actually, so shout out the writer. Who did write Adulting?
Ebony Price.
Okay.
Yes, so she's a blossoming, budding, amazing filmmaker from Howard University.
Of
And
course.
actually, most of the film team, the crew, actually came from Howard University. And they have a very, very tight-knit cohort and a tight-knit community, especially out here in LA. Like, the filmmaking community out here is deep from Howard. But she just has a very unique voice. And her whole goal was to kind of bring back a 90s feel.
Okay.
So if you watched our trailer, the trailer has like a 90s Martin type of feel to it. And she was hoping to explore that a little bit more.
Well, Howard people stay winning. It's definitely a great crew to be aligned with. I went to Morehouse myself. We don't do anything. I'm gonna play a little clip of adulting, if you don't mind.
No, not at all.
Dope, here we go.
Y'all, is dating dead or has it just changed to chilling? give me y'all opinions because I'm fed up. Tweet me at Naturally
T. Hey, T girl.
I'm doing my show.
Your homemade podcast?
Really? Oh, girl, is she done yet?
Oh, no.
All right. See y'all next week. And remember, everything gonna be all right. Be easy.
You need to work on that whack tagline.
Whatever. When I blow up, don't be asking me for any favors.
Who knows? So I have to ask, where did that Jamaican accent come from?
Well, speaking of my father, he's Jamaican.
Is he? Oh. Yeah. Jamaican and the military. So that, yeah, those were pretty rough ass whoopings you had.
Yes. I most likely didn't do that accent any justice. But you know what? Hey, I'll go with it.
So, okay. So with, let me ask you, Elevate, which I saw. You directed Elevate. Did you write that as well?
I did.
Okay. So you are a writer.
Yeah.
And you're a director, actress.
Yeah.
Actor.
Yeah.
Wait, what do we say now? Do we say actor?
I'm fine with either one.
Okay, cool.
I think it depends on the person.
You're a thespian. Settles it. Producer, what is the first thing that you did within entertainment?
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
So what was the first thing that you did in entertainment? Did you write first? Did you act?
Oh, I was acting at first.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what age was that?
I'm sorry?
What age was that?
Oh, I was, it was literally, I graduated from college, 2012.
Oh, wow.
I started working full-time in a completely different industry, and I was 22. Yeah, because, like, right after I started working, 2 weeks after, I ended up Googling different acting classes within L.A., and I would stick my head in and audit different classes, maybe about three, and then finally my brother's friend, he recommended me to an acting class that I'm still in called Breaking Through Actors Workshop with Choice Skinner in Sherman Oaks. So I've been there for the past 4 years, just working on my craft and getting better and better. And it's like through acting, it kind of led me through to filmmaking and writing and producing what I didn't even know I was producing. And then later I understood what this role was, and I just kind of fell in love with it.
Wow, so you're new. But you've been working hard, doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I don't feel new. I'm sorry, I don't.
Well, it's been 5 years,
I feel old,
so I guess.
And tired.
So why did you move to California, if not for the business?
Oh, well, I came out here in high school.
Oh,
so I came out here in 2005.
Okay.
I was 15, and my mom and dad had got divorced.
Okay.
And I moved straight from Albany, Georgia to here. Came with my mom, and she, you know, left her job and just started completely new here. And I just kind of, you know, grew roots in this environment in Cali. And, I mean, in high school I did a play. In college I did a play as well. But my focus was more engineering. So I was very science and math oriented. That was what I was good at. And my mom told me, girl, they make a lot of money, so you're going to do this. I'm like, okay, yes, mama. And, yeah, I didn't really take acting seriously, even in 2012 when I just dibbled and dabbled. I didn't take it seriously until 2015. That's when I actually really took it seriously. So I guess in a sense, I guess you could say, yeah, I'm pretty new in the game.
And I remember that you were saying that the character in Elevate was loosely based on you?
Yes. Yeah, definitely when I came to Cali, boy. Woo. I would say in Georgia, I was more sheltered. I mean, I lived on the military base, and then even when I got off the base, just kind of, you know, more slow-paced living. It's more safe. Everyone knows everyone. It just is different. The environment is really different than here in inner city Los Angeles. So I moved to Hawthorne area. And, you know, I had friends who had, you know, family members in Compton. We would go to Inglewood. We would go to, like, certain areas. I mean, I'm here, up here chilling with Crips and Bloods at a park with a potential drive-by, and I had no idea what was going on. I'm just with the eyes, like, oh, hey, you know, just talking to people. I ended up going to a party where we got shot at, and I didn't even know they were bullets until we were on the ground and we had to evacuate. And, you know, it's just like all these experiences kind of, they were a culture shock for me, but I was fascinated by how my friends lived here, and I just never experienced anything like this. I mean, you know, for fun, backyard boogies for fun consisted of smoking weed, playing dominoes, playing cards. And we didn't have that. I didn't see that in Georgia. So for me, it was like, okay, this is cool. I mean, these are black people. They just different, you know, and I embraced it. And for me, in Elevate, basically it's about Jamal, which is a high school. He's a high school student who is actually very, very intelligent, extremely intelligent. But he just keeps hanging out around the wrong crowds, and his friend keeps getting him in trouble, and his older brother, of course, is in the lifestyle and sells drugs to get by because their mom works very, very late hours. But he enters a robotics competition at school because he's so intelligent. He gets encouragement from his teacher, and hopefully if he can win that, then he can get a scholarship for college and finally get out and elevate and change his circumstance. So it's kind of about choice and what he decides to do.
And I won't ruin the secret, you know, the ending, what happens with the
contest. Yes, that would be nice. I mean, I incorporated my experiences of being in the inner city in L.A., and what I saw, and just like the normal everyday, and how it's so easy to be swayed away from your path. Thank God I had parents that were just, I came up in a very good home, and they stressed education. They gave me a really good foundation with those whoopings, okay, mm-hmm. that I was telling you about.
Right.
So,
12 years of whooping.
Yes. You know, I knew right from wrong, and I didn't really stray that far away from home, and I just knew I was smart, and I knew, I was like, oh, okay. Getting good grades has worked for me so far, so I'm going to just keep doing this. And, for me, I wanted to tell it from a male's perspective,
right.
because I feel like our black males don't really get, they're not really shown in a positive light as much, and especially when you have an intelligent young man, you don't really see that as much. And I wanted to do the layers of, okay, he looks one way on the outside, but he really possesses many talents in the inside. And yeah, that's what I want to do.
And tell me again the name of Jamal, the person who plays Jamal.
Oh, his name is Donald Brown.
Donald Brown, right.
Donald Brown Jr., actually. And he's phenomenal.
Good, yeah.
Well, I was going to say you will see him on your TV screen soon, but actually I think he did. He I forgot for what network, but he ended up playing Tupac.
Okay.
For I think it was like an investigative series of like Who Killed Tupac or something like
that
on
that
on a major network
that had Ice-T in it.
Like, you remember what network it was?
I don't know. It was YouTube for me. Was it like 2 months ago, maybe?
It wasn't that long ago, but it was pretty big.
Who Killed Tupac?
It was major.
Yeah, that. Oh, I gotta watch it then. That's what's up.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. He's doing great things.
That's what's up. So, I have one more question. Do you
love
it? You love the film business?
You said, do I love the film business?
Yes.
Yes. I wouldn't have quit my job of great money, great engineering money, and, fantastic splendors.
Fantastic splendors.
Take an extreme pay cut and go back into student loan debt for film. But it's so well worth it, and I love it.
Was there no both? Could you not film on the weekends, or is that?
I did.
Okay.
I worked full time, and then played on the weekends and after work during the week. Then it ended up going to part-time. I worked part-time and then pursued my passion. And I couldn't go 100% at both arenas, because when I get called in for an audition or if I'm filming something, I can't leave in a really, really important meeting with program managers, or if customers come in and have to look at, you know, my reports.
Right.
I can't just get up and go and leave. So I had to make a decision in 2016, and actually I decided to leave my job then and pursue film full time. And I just decided, you know what, let's do it. I'm young, let's get out here, let's make it happen, and here I am.
Ah, to be young, that's what's up. That's what's up.
You're still young too, what are you talking about?
Relatively speaking, but I mean the youthful energy, I sound old, I know. But this, that 20s young is very exciting for me to hear. Dope. Well, I hope one day to work with you. That would be pretty
cool. It's happening.
Is it we're happening like now?
Is it working? It's happening. Just the way that I talked to my dad when I told him, please don't hit me, I'm speaking it into existence.
Okay.
We will work together.
Okay.
Soon.
Okay. I got to knock out this documentary jazz I'm doing. It's a feat. Your features are so, I mean, I you know they're hard, but when you do one, it's like, oh, okay, I see. This can kill me. But yes.
Where are you at in the process?
I am almost finished with production.
Nice.
I'll be interviewed for a second. I should be finished whole thing in spring, but I also am producing a film that just won this ABFF Lightbox contest thing.
That's wonderful. Congrats.
Yeah, thank you. So that is supposed to be premiering, so they say, at ABFF in 2019. So I'm going to try to sneak in some things in between. I'm actually shooting something in a couple of weeks. I'll send it to you. I'll send it to Africa World Film Fest.
Yes, it's gonna be please dope. Do. That would be amazing. Mm-hmm. After that, then we'll work together.
Well, yes, after that, yes. But, you know.
You're not running away from this.
I have a role in mind. I have a role in mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty good role. Short film. Funny person.
Okay, I'm ready for it.
Funny, strong person.
You said you need a strong person?
No, she's a funny, strong person, the character.
Let me check my resume, but I think I fit that. Yes? No?
I'm sure you have, yes.
Okay. Whew.
Whatever, yo.
All
okay.
Right.
Well, thank you, my first calling guest, Latia Solomon. That's my uncle's last name, Solomon. Don't know how he got it, but you know. Wait, is that your real name, or is that your Hollywood name?
No, that's my real name.
Okay. Yes. Thank you for your patience earlier. Let the listeners know that. Well, they know, because there was a lot of static earlier and all that other stuff, but we're good. So, I blame everything on it's 11:30 where I live right now.
It's been a long day.
So
the internet kind of just stops working around 11:30.
Oh, my gosh. So I'm glad you're comfortable enough to give me this sarcasm here, because I give it back, just not tonight. I give it back, though. I'm not tech savvy.
Okay, well,
I'm not
show.
Jamal. I haven't elevated. I don't know about the numbers and the switches and everything by myself. All these blinking lights and knobs. Are we even recording?
Awesome. Well, can I give people, I guess, I don't know, where to find me if they want to get in contact?
Yes, do that.
Okay. If anyone has not been bored or has been excited or inspired or whatever about anything that we just talked about, I'd love to connect with you. My Instagram is @l.solomon, SOLOMON _. So that's 3 O's. And just contact me.
If you're
in LA, let's collaborate.
We got confused.
Okay.
Do it again. At?
@l.solomon, O N is in Nike, underscore. So L.Solomon underscore. And that's my Instagram handle name.
And that's three O's.
Yep, three O's.
What about your Twitter? How many O's are in the Twitter?
You know, I don't have a Twitter.
Oh, excuse us. Okay.
I don't. Yeah, I just have Facebook and Instagram. Okay. And that's it. Okay.
No Snapchat, no... IMDb.
I do have an IMDb.
Your IMDb is kind of lit. So what's your name? I mean, same thing. Latia Solomon. Three O's.
Yeah. You can just find me on Latia Solomon. Wherever. Honestly, you can just Google Latia Solomon and you'll find some way. LinkedIn. You'll find some way.
Okay, just Google.
To contact
just
me.
Just Google her.
And it's L-E-T-I-A. Solomon.
L-E-T-I-A. So when I have the script to show to you, do I contact you directly? Is there... You answer your own phone?
Yeah, I answer my own phone for now. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'll hurry it.
It's sometimes it's better for me to get direct. So okay. I can just be like, okay, well, what's going on? And then I can just talk to people and figure it out from there.
Okay. Sounds great. All right,
yes.
People. So this has been Tell Me Your Story with Victoria De Costa. And we're out. Now you can stay.
Yes, thank you.
Wait. I'm going to cut here, but. Wait.
Right. Oil and water, gasoline and fire. That mansion in Atlanta, Lisa Left Eye and Andre Rison.
Talk to him.
God bless the dead, one of Philly's finest. No disrespect, I just find in common. Screaming at the moon, Phyllis Hyman. Listening to Soul System, sometimes seeing visions, psilocybin. We was crazy in love, fucking insane asylum. Now we don't give a fuck, I'm numb like Cain up in your sinus. You complain I'm callous, words stink of hate and malice. Rather than ram, maintain my silence, painting my pain and song my solace. I guess I'm a writer, not a lover. End up alone like my father, rolling stone. Muddy waters, man, I kick flows for you. Kick down doors for you. Even left all my motherfucking hoes for you. Thought I was the one for you. That's love for you. Guess I was wrong, right or wrong, I wrote the song for you. Love is a struggle, baby. A puzzle, babe. Can I have a bad bitch?
Oh,
without no flaws?
No.
Yo, love is a law.
No.
Yo, love is a law.
Oh.
Yo, love is a law.
Can I have a bad bitch?
Oh, without no flaws?
No.
Yo, love is a law.
No.
Yo, love is a law. Communication is the key, but lately we've been locking horns. Shipping on my mind, on my head like a crown of thorns. Crucify my love like after the Romans gave Judas coins. Communication is the key, but lately we've been locking horns. Shipping on my mind, on my head like a crown of thorns. Crucify my love like after the Romans gave Judas coins. Thought I was a pimp, but I was wrong, more like Donald Goins. Write a storyteller, write a letter, mail it. Better yet, it's on the dresser, yeah, we live together. But a house is not a home, and home is where the hatred is. Gil Scott, blaring from my headphones, I'm dead wrong. Writing about shit so personal, rather than spazzing out, cursing you out of hurting you. I need some Theraflu. Can I have a bad bitch,
oh,
without no flaws?
No.
Yo, love is a law.
No.
Yo, love is a law.
Oh.
Yo, love is
can
a law.
Can I have a bad bitch,
oh,
without no flaws?
No. Yo, love is a law.
No.
Yo, love is a law.
broke open all the windows, baby. I can't feel my face. I can't feel my face. I can't feel my. Crack open all the windows, baby. I can't feel my face.
Feel my face, feel my face.
I can't feel my face. I can't feel my face. More drugs for the intake. Alcohol for the downfall. Mama told me, boy, don't lose yourself. I'm lost in the damn zone. It's been great, yeah, it's been great. Been low, yeah, we been low. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's talk about your problems. That was never really an option for me. I was too busy struggling. Had to go and get it, but I'm fumbling. But I try to hold on, yeah, try to hold on, yeah, try to hold on. Love's never been an issue, baby, but it ain't no game.
Yeah. Alright.
Love's never been an issue, baby, but it ain't no game. Crack open all the windows, baby. I can't feel my face.
Feel my face, feel my face.
I can't feel my face. Crack open all the windows, baby. I can't feel my face.
Feel my face, feel my face.
I can't feel my face. I can't feel my face. Living a lie in the daytime. Find demons in the night. Shorty hit me up and said, babe, what you doing? I said, none, saying, hit crime. She said, oh my God, what's going on? And why you crying?
Why you crying? Why you crying? Why you crying?
Look, tears down my face, bullet by my side, gun in my lap. Thinking I will never make it, let me take this nap. Fucking now my mind is racing, let me write this rap. I'm like, the more I pray, the more the pain will go away, away.
Yeah, yeah.
Love's never been an issue, baby, but it ain't no game.
Yeah.
Love's never been an issue, baby, but it ain't no game.
Alright.
Yeah, PH. I know sometimes you be stressed out thinking about a lot of things. Sometimes you just need to roll one up. Fly away. Gotta cool it off, yo. I don't need a car, cuz I fly away. I gotta fly away to release some of the stress. Roll it up, light it up, now I'm flying on a jet. Orange Moon was a classic. We gave you vinyl and plastic. Top five of the year, now 5 years after the fact. They acting like it never happened. Hip hop is flaky, but I love it like a first cousin. Made me the cause of my cause is cause I was birthed from it. Fourth quarter and I'm on my 23rd bucket. Batting cleanup bases loaded and I'm curb pucking. Now they wanna throw curveballs. Fuck it like a third cousin. Funky like a turned onion. You're a chicken and a duck and a turkey. You're a turducken. Stop stressing me. The herb is my remedy. Relaxing my energy. Whole is the chemistry. Move like a centipede. The center my energy like a centerpiece. I was sent to set you free from the section that's stressing me. I gotta go, adios, but I hope that you mention me. Gotta cool it off, yo. I don't need a car, cuz I fly away. I gotta fly away to release some of the stress. Roll it up, light it up, now I'm flying on a jet. Know the ledge, the last album was hot sauce. Bad patterns in your material, you're a knockoff. Your whole everything should be chopped off. You
You bite so much, you should have locked jaws. So I heard from a source, you're duplicating the sauce. But true fans understand you lost, cool off. We know you're a wolf, I just pulled the wool off. I rush a sick with your team like Nikolai Volkov. I think I need to fly away to blue water, sunny skies for a brighter day. Bills up to my neck and you ain't paying out. You need to find a way before Brooklyn knock on your door like you gotta pay. Hey Wayne, you don't like my city, don't come back. Before your back's against the wall, thumbtack, fly away with your tail tucked, man, fuck that. We don't need you, we never did, now run, tell that. Gotta cool it off, yo. I don't need a car, cuz I fly away. I gotta fly away to release some of the stress. Roll it up, light it up, now I'm flying on a jet.
Tragedy, isn't that our leaders are so cold, or do they just